If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings to the divine love and light of the Supreme Spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Be a Yogi at All Times and Places. So do you know what a yogi is? You're probably visualizing someone sitting cross-legged on a lotus somewhere. But actually, yogi comes from the Sanskrit root yug, Y-U-G, which simply means to be yoked to or in union with. And in this situation, it's light. So a yogi is one who is in union and yoked with light. And I was reminded of Jesus, who said, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light." So that gives a little deeper understanding of what we're going to be looking at this evening. So let's begin with an attunement, as we always like to do, and take a deep breath. And call yourself forward in a life stream, radiating and extending, but not leaving, the very heart of God. Know that you are an extension of the life and the love and the wisdom and the creative intelligence of one supreme source. And just experience that energy coming right down to the top of your head and flowing in a stream of divine sweetness and radiance right down the center of your cerebral spinal column. Now see it flowing through the chakras, which are energy vortices that are located in your pranamaya kosha, or your energy body, your breath body, or your etheric vehicle. And see how they flow energy into your endocrine system and through the endocrine system into all the levels and areas of your body, so that your very health is sourced and sustained by God. And if you will, join your forefinger and your thumb, as we did last week, and place it just about an inch below your thymus on your breastbone. Again, if you haven't found that little delicious place, play with it a little bit after we go off the air. Because when you touch that point ever so gently between your breasts on the breastbone, just below the thymus, you'll experience a very slight, blissful feeling. I don't mean slight so much as I mean subtle. And it's worth really finding that. It's often been called the point of joy. So for now, just place it where you intuitively feel it may be, if you haven't quite found it yet. And with the next breath, I want you to breathe into that and make a conscious connection with the divine presence that dwells right in that point in your spiritual heart. Are you ready? Take a deep breath. And touch to that divine presence. And now softly breathe in and out. You can combine it, if you like, with a mantra. You can use I am, or you can use the Sanskrit equivalent, so hum. Actually, if you listen, you'll find that your breath automatically is chanting that mantra. And so as you breathe in, so, and exhale, hum. Just as if you were breathing in and out of your heart. So, I'm starting to feel such bliss that I won't be able to do the radio show if I keep going on. So, I've been practicing this for a long time. But what happens is that you feel such ecstasy. After a while, that the world and everything in it vanishes, and you're in complete oneness with God. I was experiencing the Kundalini energy, like the hood of a cobra on the back of my head. The Kundalini in my body is fully activated, so I was experiencing it like a hood of goosebumps that came up from the occipital to base of the skull, flooding over the top of my head. And as the consciousness went into samadhi, the ecstasy and the bliss was so intense that you go beyond mind, beyond speech. Body consciousness completely vanishes, and you merge with the Supreme Beloved. That is the goal of yoga. That is yoga. That is divine union. And it all starts with, by the way, excuse me, I've got a bit of congestion tonight, so if I squeak and sound a little gravelly, forgive me. I didn't want to not do the show and disappoint you. But bodies are bodies, and sometimes they go through things. But we mustn't let the body ever block the truth of who we are, which is the bliss and the love and the light of God. My beloved other selves, just as each of you is unique, so is each one of our spiritual journeys of divine awakening and that fulfillment that comes when we become totally light. The scriptures tell us that God is light. And all of the wise, illumined ones throughout the ages say that we are light. We are not else but God. We are the supreme light itself. That light could be called the Christ. It could be called the Krishna consciousness. It can be called the beloved, the mystical traveler, the Holy Spirit. It could be called the Atma Jyoti, the light of the Atma or spirit. It could be called the consciousness itself. It could be called illumined awareness. Begin to learn that, if you haven't already, that same thing is called by different names depending upon the tradition or the culture or the language of the people. It's also been called the soul. But sometimes we tend to put those outside of ourselves, thinking that the soul is somewhere other than the consciousness, other than the light. And we begin to think of ourselves as an I, a we, a me, a mine. Instead of awakening to the awareness that it is but God that operates. God is the light in which you see. God is the voice in which you hear all sounds. God is the almighty power that operates your arms and your legs, that beats your heart. The one universal, omniversal life of itself is breathing, the breath in your lungs. There is no other in all of existence but that self. And all of the pain and suffering we have in life comes from the longing for union with that. Every disappointment, every anguish, every addictive pattern, every anomaly and aberrated behavior, every form of anger, every lashing out, every modicum of negativity is a desperate plea for God, for light, for one's own truth. One's own self. And so, each of our seminars is designed to gradually lead someone that night to a deeper sense of union and God realization. You will not ever be drawn to listen to these seminars unless it's your time to do so. Every single one is an evocation of your divine being to come forth and to occupy and to radiate ecstasy throughout the cosmos. So, often people will sit like yogis for 15 minutes or an hour, but then they get up and act like another person altogether. Gone is the joy, the peace, the composure, if any of those things were experienced in meditation, and sometimes they're not. Sometimes people sit there and they wool gather and they fantasize, and their mind leaps all over, but they haven't settled in to the practice to where that begins to subside. And the joy and the peace and the composure, which is the natural unfolding of the lotus of your heart and your innermost being, instead becomes overwhelmed by the ingrained habits and tendencies, which then take over and one's unconscious karmic program begins to run the show. And that is not spiritual progression. So if that is you and you have been meditating for some time, yet without any observable effect or transformation in your lifestyle and how you experience yourself in your life, then it's time to consider why that's so. Awakening is all about making one's life conscious and aware all the time. It's of living as a yogi in divine union all the time. Now, we've all lived countless lifetimes as the butchers and bakers and candlesticks makers and every other imaginable role and occupation. We've been the good salt of the earth, law-abiding, solid citizens. We've also been the scumbags and the evildoers. We've enacted all roles in this great divine drama. We've worn every color of skin and every cultural valence. And we've lived upon every continent. But you know what? When you drop this earth suit, i.e. the physical body, and with it the personality coloring of this particular incarnation, excuse me, and you stand naked in the soul body, all souls are equal. You can put Jesus Christ and Hitler together, side by side, as souls, and you will not be able to tell them apart. All souls are equally holy, pure, perfect, and divine. What goes awry is when the mental body, which is filled with the karma, begins to mingle with that pure essence. And that causes a perception of a separate identity that seems to run along a track divergent from the divine. It could only do that in time, space, and temporal cycles, because in highest truth, you remain as God created you and are simply an extension of consciousness. But choices can lead to consequences, and consequences lead to rebirth, and rebirth causes more consequences, which leads to, again, more rebirth, until it's at some point you're brought up short by light and life, and come to a point where you completely collapse in your egoic form. You can't go on anymore. You have a total meltdown and breakdown. And out of that pit, the light finally gets to pierce through the armor of illusion. And you begin to start a new life as a seeker, as one who is ready, finally, to be in union, in wholeness, in perfection. Original perfection, I might add. So, it would be helpful to realize that there is no greater or lesser. We talk a lot about levels of initiation. We talk about avatars, divine incarnations, saints and sages, and great realized beings. But that talk is only appropriate when you look at it in time, in terms of time and space, which of course are both illusion. Only in this little tiny interlude between birth and death does such talk seem to have meaning. And yet it forms part of the illusion of return, which seems to be a necessary journey. Because it's what we're doing. And yet it's a journey without distance. From a place in highest truth we have never left. So it's a journey of the mind back to the heart. Because the mind is that which is created this labyrinth of becoming in the eternal sea of being. And it is part, I suppose, of the grand play, the grand drama. It is what is, so we accept what is that which we need to work with. But this lifetime, my beloved other selves, is today very different from any other time in which we've lived. This incarnation is divinely marked to be entirely different for every one of you. For this life, now in the 21st century, is all about awakening beyond where you've ever been before and what you've ever done before. This life is like none other. And you are here to be part of a total global awakening, a transformation such as has never happened before on this planet. And you are a contemporary of the Psi avatars. I want to pause here and read a direct quote from Sai Baba. This is to you and me and to all of us. No matter where you go, always do your duty as you see it. And know that I will be there, inside you, guiding you every step of the way. In the years to come, you will experience me in many different manifestations of my form. I will protect you as the eyelid protects the eyes. I will never leave you, and you can never leave me. From this point on, do not hanker after anything. Do your duty with unwavering love, seeing all as God. Be patient. In time, everything will be given to you. Be happy. There is no need to worry about anything. Whatever is experienced, whatever happens, know that this avatar has willed it so. There is no force on earth which can delay for an instant the mission for which this avatar has come. You are all sacred souls, and you will have your parts to play in the unfolding drama of the new golden age, which is coming sooner than any of you can imagine. So Sai Baba is interested in bringing each of us back to the very source of manifestation, to our original emergence in him as God. Not that he's talking about himself as Satya Sai Baba. He's speaking as God from God consciousness. So be aware of that. He's not tooting his horn. Don't leave your chosen religion and chosen form of God to adopt what you consider to be a new way or a new religion or a new form. That's not what Baba's saying. Continue your worship in your chosen manner, and you'll find that you're coming nearer and nearer to him. But he's come to grant us liberation while in these very bodies. And it's only our mistaken misidentification as an independent individual, which would be the ego, that's the source of all of our suffering. Over and over, he said the most astounding thing. He's told us that this is not your life. This is my life, lived through you as a vehicle. Even your thinking is not yours. Don't take it personally. You are not doing it. It flows through you. So whatever happens, just say, this too shall pass. And allow both joy and sorrow to leave in its wake instead, an expanded, all-embracing awareness. And ultimately, realization will come to one and all that you are not separate from God and never could be. And it's only in your wild imagination that you have assumed this separation, which in fact has never occurred and is impossible to occur. So many things are happening to people now, and I want to look at why that's so. Some are here to complete all the remaining karmic remnants still showing up in their life. They have to be cleared to go to this next level. They can be cleared through working them through in your life, or they can be cleared through God's grace, or a combination of the two. And these remaining karmic remnants show up as the people, the issues, and the life situations that are present in your life, and that keep showing up in various guises. And they will keep reappearing until they no longer provoke negativity in any form in you. Until they are no longer an issue for you, and you are free of both attraction and aversion, they're going to keep showing up. There is no other way to be rid of these karmic patterns until you are free inside yourself regarding them. You see, the issue itself is not the problem. It's the energy that you have that's the issue. The energy that you have, the negative energy, the reactive energy, the fearful energy, the hateful energy, the energy of resistance and againstness, or of undue attachment to where you're not free, you're bound to this thing. Attachment and aversion come back to back, just as the problem and the solution come back to back also. And Jesus has told us clearly in the Course of Miracles that there's only one problem, which is the perception of separation, and there is only one answer, the joining in light, the joining with light, the becoming the yogi. You see, you can say it many different ways. It's the same message, the same teaching, and the same issue. And there's another group of people that are here for final exams prior to graduation from this earth school. And you are the ones that are going to be moving into other divine realms entirely. You may have been the bodhisattvas of this previous 26,000-year cycle. They say that every ascended master is the product of a commitment that's lasted for 26,000 years. I don't know if that's accurate, but I believe that was in the I'm not sure if it was in the Alice Bailey books, but it was in one of the esoteric books that I came across that statement. So an ascended master apparently has signed a 26,000-year contract. And these are the selfless servers that have come again and again to assist humanity in its spiritual journey and emancipation. Excuse me. So if you're one of these persons, then you know who you are, and you just know if that's you. I don't know why you know that, but it kind of comes in with you. And some of you are perhaps in older bodies or not, but suddenly you'll be departing this dimension. And many seem to be leaving at this time, and some are quite young, and there doesn't seem to be any apparent reason why suddenly they're leaving. We've seen a lot of athletes suddenly just drop dead. And sometimes children, a friend of mine, their child just passed away for no reason. There was no illness. Why would that happen? Well, no one leaves until they have completed their purpose for being here. You know, the many, many near-death experiences and accounts that we've had of people who've tried to commit suicide or tried to leave in some other way, and they were met and told, it's not your time, you have to go back. So no one can leave before their time. But when you're an ascended master, you have a choice, a free choice as to when you leave. And you can opt to stay even when you could leave at any point, and you're free to do so. And sometimes, also with an advanced soul, you'll have different windows of opportunity. I've had about 6 now in which I have said, no, I think I'll stay on because I still have more I feel I could share and give. So there's many reasons, but one of the reasons, which I bet you probably never, ever considered, is that you are strategizing your next appearance, your next embodiment, for you have a role to play with Prema Sai Baba, and it will already be inaugurated, but the living in the golden age of truth, which Baba said will last for 1,000 years, it's a mini golden age within a major cycle. So for 1,000 years, this golden age of truth will be upon this planet. And in order to arrive in the perfect place at the perfect time in the career of the next avatar, Prema Sai Baba, which is already on Earth, but in an unknown area, undisclosed, and of course as a baby, you have a part and a role to play, but you have to be at the right age, and he has to be at the right age so you can do what you have come in to do. So some of us have been coming in with the avatars from age to age. Each time the divine manifests, in previous ages, we have come in as part of his group of co-workers. We have many of us come with Rama and Krishna and Jesus and Buddha and Mahavira and Zoroaster and all of the various Mahapurushas that have come in. Shirdi Sai Baba, some of us have been with him. I was with Shirdi in my last lifetime. And many of you listening and who are fond of what we share have also been in incarnation with Shirdi Sai Baba, which was the first of the Sai avatars to come. You are now here with Satya Sai Baba, who, although he has dropped his former physical form, he is in his subtle body and operating even more widely at this time, or actually as widely as he ever has throughout the world. So he is still here, and is continuing on with no break in his mission whatsoever. So you are here now at the time of what has been called the greatest manifestation of the divine to ever come to this planet. His job is to establish the golden age. Prema Sai Baba's job is to preside within the golden age. So many of us expect Sai Baba to reappear for a period of 7 years in a slightly younger physical body and continue on with the same appearance that he has had as Satya Sai Baba. This was foretold in many of the ancient nadis that were written by the sages 5,000 years ago. So it looks like this is part of the mystery that you're going to be participating in and enjoying. And it is to be enjoyed. It's an incredible saga that you had the good fortune to be born at this time on Earth to participate in. Now, several of my Sai devotee friends have already left their bodies in order to be reborn with Prema Sai and to be in, again, the right time to join in his mission. And Sai Baba has confirmed this in some instances. So by approximately 2022 to 2027, the entire earth will be totally transformed with no trace of evil anywhere to be found. Peace and love will abide in every heart and in all places because of the inner transformation that the Psi Avatar is bringing to correct the mind that has gone awry and to set in place the whatever is needed within and without to facilitate this great transformative process, which is being facilitated by all of us. We all are doing what we can as light workers to be part of this under the guidance of Sai Baba, whether or not we're aware of it. So gone will be every form of corruption, crime, pollution, evil, warfare, and hatred. And love will prevail throughout the earth. Gone also will be disease and poverty. There will be plenty for all. The resources of the earth will be shared by everyone. Free of the current evils of currency, commerce, and stock exchanges. Lord Maitreya was quoted as saying that commerce is more potentially dangerous to humanity than the atom bomb. That's a pretty strong statement. So perhaps you can see now why so many have chosen to work out so many things now. My gosh, people are going through so much. Diseases and various hardships and the tremendous losses due to the floods and the storms and the tornadoes and the hurricanes and everything, earthquakes. You can see that they're doing this in many instances to finish all that karma up so they're free to join in this spectacular age of peace. Baba has said that only those souls of pure love who are rooted firmly in devotion will qualify to inherit this coming golden age. And Sai Baba has said that our lives and destinies are all intertwined with his. And thus they're already preordained and prescripted. This is really awesome when you think about it. I was amazed when I went and had my Bhrigu reading done. And this was done by a sage 5,000 years ago. And told the exact moment and day that I would come for that reading. It blew my mind away, and it knew everything about my life, every tiny detail. How can that be? Prescripted. We think we have free will, but Baba said we have about as much free will as a donkey tied to a tree. That may make some people upset, but it shouldn't, because our will and God's will are one. And God's will, I'm quoting the Bible here, is that we should have health and abundance. I forget the exact, I'm trying to think of the exact quotation. It slipped my mind. But bottom line, it's God's will for us to have fullness of health and fullness of abundance of all good things. So it's another way of saying that we belong to God. We belong to the one creator. We are every one of us embodiments of that self-same one creator. And that one God, however envisioned, is living in and as every one of us. We are all God's incarnations, divine embodiments, one and all. And very unique in our characters and our way of expressing the divine. That's what's the mystery, is that we are individualized, perfect emanations of oneness. but as unique as snowflakes. I like to use that analogy of snow. You look at all of the snow, but if you take every little snowflake, every single one is unique. There are no two snowflakes that are identical. And that is a perfect analogy for the soul that we are. We're all one with God, like the snow. We're all snow. And we're all as unique as snowflakes. And that would be our individual, well, let's use the metaphor of the note that we resonate within the cosmic chorus, within the cosmic, within the living word of God, within the Bhagavad Gita, the song of God. We are each a unique note in that orchestra. So now is the time of the greatest spiritual awakening that has ever occurred on Mars, on planet Earth. And worldwide, people in their multi-millions are awakening and becoming more conscious and aware. So I would like to look at some of the characteristics of a person who is living in union with light, and also some of the serious blocks to divine union. Let's look at the first, let's look at serious blocks. The most serious block to divine union is grievance. Jesus said in the Course in Miracles that our grievances hide the light of the world that we are. And there's no such thing as a little upset. All upset, all grievance, all againstness really hides the light that we are. And along with grievance would be irritation and anger, which are mild forms, Jesus said, of murderous rage. They're mild. They just mildly cover up a murderous rage. And I would say they all come out of hatred. So grievance is the single most block to divine union. Negative attitudes of all kinds block the light that you are. Notice a person when they're in a joyful mood, how their face radiates light. And notice when they have a dark countenance, when they're angry or they're... It's like all of a sudden the light goes out of their face. Watch people's faces. You see that a lot in the people who are the talking heads, you know, when they're on television. Their faces are dull and dark, because they haven't awakened to the light that they are. And you can see it in the face. People who are awake are radiant. So anyway, negative attitudes are like that shade, that darkness, that shadow that falls across the countenance. Judgment of self and others is another serious block. A critical spirit and tongue. A willful desire to harm another or oneself. Refusal to listen, heed, and obey divine directives. A spirit of unrepentant rebelliousness. And probably one of the biggest blocks that we have is pride, arrogance. So the goal is to embody unconditional, pure divine love. Baba says purity is divinity. Man without ego is God. Man with love is divine. So the very, very beginning of our journey, the development of a good character is the foundation, whatever leads to a good character. The six passions of the mind are often spoken of in the spiritual teaching. And the six passions of the mind that we have to overcome are lust, anger, envy, greed, delusion, and vanity or pride. Those are the six passions of the mind. There are minor blocks, too, that can become serious if they're not watched. These would be bad habits. Bad habits such as drinking, taking drugs, smoking. They may seem little, but they dull the light. They dull the consciousness. They confuse the thinking. They cause you to behave in ways that you later regret. Sometimes they lead to accidents, fatalities, and even criminal activity. So they're dangerous because they are bad vibrations to take into the holy temple of your body. Second is bad company. You tend to become like the people you spend a lot of time with. So it's very important that you cultivate good company, and if you can't, be alone. Far better. The next is laziness, making no effort to help oneself or to improve one's life and behavior. Another is dishonesty, deceit. Generally, these come from fear, so that's why I put them under the category of minor blocks. You might think it's very serious. Yeah, it is serious. But if you see that it's coming out of fear, these are things that can be overcome with meditation and with proper training. But the serious blocks are grievance, hatred, pride, arrogance, anger, judgment, critical spirit, willful desire to harm another, unrepentant rebelliousness. Those are serious blocks. And what are some of the characteristics? Excuse me. I want you to know that you all have these within you already. These are your true nature. Whether or not they are manifesting consistently is another thing. That's part of our journey as we keep opening up more and more to the light of God. These naturally show forth. They're not something that you have to acquire so much as they are uncovered as you do your spiritual practice. It's like, you know, scrubbing. You're scrubbing and rubbing and cleansing your mind every time you repeat the names of God, every time you meditate. The detergent is the name of God that keeps cleansing you from within. So the first characteristic of a person in union is love of God. This person lives in the presence, is filled with devotion, and has a loving sense of kinship and goodwill towards others. There's no hatred or anger in this person. They have an orientation naturally to be of service. They're filled with the awe and wonder of the beauty of nature. They have a kindly and sincere, gentle nature. They're filled with compassion and empathy. They're patient. They have a sense of contentment and are at peace with themselves and their lot in life and with others. They exhibit self-control, and they monitor their senses and keep them wisely directed and under control. They have equanimity and maintain balance without extremes. They have strong, steady faith and strong conviction and confidence in God and in themselves. Self-confidence is very important, Baba said, that self-confidence is the foundation for self-realization. Because the self that you're confident in is God presence within you. A person in union with light, a yogi, lives in trust and surrender, yielding life and all events to a divine arranging. The mind is absorbed in God and experiences bliss, the bliss of divine communion. The yogi practices harmlessness and nonviolence in thought, word, and deed. One in union with light doesn't cause trouble for others, and has discernment, stays out of people's business and out of their way, doesn't interfere with their destiny and their natural way of needing to live their lives. A person in union with light is non-critical of others and of the world in general, is non-judgmental, has detachment towards the things of this world, knowing that all things pass. Everything is a stream of consciousness that's passing like a parade. And all things in this world dissolve in the love and light of God with a full awakening. That's the disappearance of the universe that Gary Renard wrote about in his wonderful book. So, such a person practices harmlessness, doesn't have any desire to cause harm to anything or anyone. Such a person is non-critical of others and has the spirit of detachment towards everything. You know, it's again the Sakshi, the witness, witnessing all things with an unfurrowed brow, with a calm countenance. This person is desireless, really doesn't have personal ambition or self-interest at all. The life is lived to be of service and to be helpful, but not for the personal self. Thus, it's impersonal. It doesn't take offense or things personally. It accepts praise and blame without reaction. This one has a pure heart and mind and speech and practices cleanliness and wholesomeness in all levels of the life. A yogi practices detachment, is even dispositioned. Again, no emotional extremes. And has an aura of silence and inner stillness and quiet composure. A yogi radiates happiness and quiet joy, has a natural acceptance in flowing with that which is, has true perspective and values, is at home everywhere in the universe, has a steady and wavering mind, a firm resolve, steady focus, and determination. Such a one possesses courage, inner fortitude, and strength. A yogi is fearless, living in total trust and surrender to the divine. So, that's pretty much what we are uncovering in the light of our awakening. And how does one live each day like a yogi in maintaining this conscious divine awareness at all times and places? I would say it only takes two things, really. An intense interest and intention to do so, and continual mindful practice. So if you really want to stay awake and aware, you'll find a way. We always find a way to attain what we truly want in life. You know, personally, I've used every tool, technique, and approach available to fuel and foster and feed my spiritual unfoldment. But the one thing I never lost awareness of was God. But realizing that God dwelt in me as my own true self, that has taken longer to come to. But God, and loving God, and seeking to draw ever nearer and dearer to the divine, that's always been the core of my life. Now, if that's so for you, and I'm sure it is, or you wouldn't be listening, according to Sai Baba, that is the result of many lifetimes, so many that it's beyond our reckoning, when we have come to the place where we have love and devotion for God. So, do you feel loving devotion for God? And did you realize what great merit you have attained in previous lifetimes in order to feel loving devotion to God now? I bet many of you just never considered that at all. So don't worry about your flaws and your shortcomings. Sai Baba said that he gives us the flaws that we have so that we will not develop too much self-importance and egotism, and so that we will have something to work on in our spare time. Everything in this material illusion is designed with built-in flaws. Nothing here can be experienced in perfection. If it could be, we would never leave this place. So just watch how everything has a flaw. Every person has their shortcomings and their quirks and their flaws. Even with God, you know, when I was with Sai Baba, I noticed how you could never have a perfect experience of him, because the minute he would come by, somebody would stand up and suddenly block your vision, or you'd be placed in a place where you couldn't see him. Or there was always an imperfect element. And of course, when you're with him, sometimes you go to a perfect place, but then that's when you, through his grace, go into a level where you're no longer self-conscious. I had a moment like that with him. When I was a few inches from his eyes, looking into his eyes, and there was nothing in me but the desire to merge. That was it. And I felt like that was the one meaningful, truly meaningful thing I've ever done in my life. There was like a completion in that. But even that, that's up to his timing and his will. You cannot even hear his name mentioned unless it's your time to hear it. If you are called to India to his ashram, it's because you have that predestined time to be there at that time, and he has called you. You cannot not fulfill your destiny. He will always bring you through to the place of your greatest desire, your greatest longing, your greatest divine aspiration is 100% sure to be fulfilled. Everything you have dreamed and prayed and asked God for, you will have it. You must have it. He has fulfilled every single desire I have ever had, both the large ones and the small ones. It amazed me how a desire would arise in my mind, just a simple little thing, and the next moment it would be fulfilled, and is to this moment. That's how my life is lived. And that's for you. That's for every one of us. This is our lifetime, that we make a major stride in either complete illumination and merging with the Supreme, or a giant step that will culminate at the most in the next 10 lifetimes. For most of you listening, it's not going to be that long. But just saying, for the masses of humanity, Baba said, all will come to him within the next 10 years. So that's what I had to share with you this evening. I hope it inspires you and fills you with love and inspiration to keep going. I'm not going to try to chant tonight because my voice is a little too raspy, but let's just do a whispered hue. Deep breath. Hue. 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 Sarvesham Shantir Bhavatu. May all the beings in all the worlds have peace. God bless you, and God willing, I'll be with you next week. Namaste.